welcome to the Get Strong, Lose Weight podcast, where we believe that getting strong should be simple. Confusion is the enemy, and when you feel strong, capable, and confident, you live a better life. I am Coach Jay. I am here with Coach Mike.
Hello.
Mike, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. So Mike is here. We're going to talk a little bit about working out at home. So last week we talked to Coach Heidi about working out at home versus in the gym versus Zoom. And Heidi's kind of done all three, as have I. But Mike has exclusively been training at home during quarantine period. Mm-hmm. And you've made some pretty amazing results, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought we would talk to Mike and find out how he got to those results. And also, just what kind of things you've learned along the way, what made it easier, what are some of the kind of tips and tricks that you've picked up. So let's just start back in March when this whole thing started to go down. When was the last time that you attended a class or started doing or were doing like open gym?
So since March, I've worked out at the gym twice total. I think once like in July, right after we kind of like done, like started opening classes for outdoor workouts and stuff. And then I just came in recently one time during, you know, kind of our open gym. No one was there time and did some stuff, but yeah, it's only been twice really like in the gym, and I do miss it. Like it's, you know, there's nothing like being there, even if you're working out at home and you're getting results. It's a different experience.
Good morning, Kim. So it's basically morning. Two times in the last few months, right?
Yeah.
And
seven months now. It's been officially 7 months. No, eight months. Yeah. Yes. March 17th was the order.
Yeah. I'm hoping that by the time you listen to this, if you're out there, that we will have a vaccine. So you'll remember this as a fond memory. So it's a couple times in the last few months, but you've been doing workouts at home. Like you work out 4 or 5 days a week, right?
Yeah. So, you know, even before the pandemic, my workout plan was always 6 days, Monday through Saturday with Sunday off. But then I would do that kind of 3 weeks in a row. And then on the fourth week, I would still do 6 days, but it would be really light. It would be more recovery. I might do like a Metcon workout a couple times, but like generally it was like really light. Maybe just like go for a light run or get on the bike for a little bit. So that fourth week was more like an active recovery week.
Over the last 8 months, you've managed to keep that same routine?
Yeah, pretty much. I've pretty much been sticking with the 3 weeks. It's just, for me mentally, it's just easier to think about, right? Like I'm working out. I work out every day pretty much except Sunday. And then like, I just need to remember it. I can generally tell my body tells me that it's like time for a rest week. Cause usually by the third week, I'm kind of like, yeah, I think this is the third week. I'm feeling pretty tired and wrecked. And like, you know, next week's going to be a good recovery week. So, but we've been doing it. I've been doing it, you know, even at home.
Right. Okay. So before we dig further, tell me a little bit about the last 8 months since this lockdown has started.
Yep.
What kind of results have you gotten physically?
So one thing is my biggest fear going into it was that I was going to get slower, get lose strength. And none of that's happened. Like I'm pretty much as fast or faster than I am in the past. I mean, I have to kind of couch it because I live on this big hill. So when I go on runs, it's like hill runs. And so it's really, really tough. Yeah. But, you know, if I sprint it, it's within seconds of my flat time. So it's not a significant change if I push really hard on the hill. You know, I have an assault bike at home. And so like, I know like my, you know, I can keep like the base RPM that I can keep now is a little higher than it was before. So I think like before, like I was really struggling to hit like, you know, consistent, like, so like if I hop on, let's say I get hop on for like 15K, cause I'm just like, that's what I'm doing. You know, it used to be like, I'd be in the high 50s in RPM, like, and that would be like a good thing. Now it's like low 60s. Right. So like, recently got like probably like 3 months ago, we got a barbell. And so I've actually like PR'd my squat clean since we've been doing a lot of pull-ups. And so my pull-ups I've had shoulder issues, but like, you know, they've actually done better. Like I had shoulder issues before the pandemic and I'm actually doing better now than I did right before the injury. So slowly my recovery is still also improving. It used to be that like 50 pound kettlebell, the 50 pound dumbbell, like snatch and stuff was like a challenge. I can do it, but it's hard. Now it's just like regular reps. It's just,
so you've gotten stronger with your squat clean Your shoulder feels better on pull-ups. You've gotten faster at running, faster on the bike, all doing stuff at home.
Yeah, all doing stuff at home.
Right. So when this thing first started, so you didn't have much equipment, right? You didn't have a bike.
No, I mean, I had it's funny. We had like a couple kettlebells and we had a really old set of like those adjustable weights, like dumbbells weights, you know, with a little spinny thing and you could like, you know, unscrew them and put little plates on. So like I dusted those out of the garage. And so we probably had a couple, we had like some light dumbbells and then like I set up a couple of those. So I had like maybe like 35 and a 25-pound set of those two things.
Okay, so you had pretty minimal equipment. And then how did you decide what workouts to do right at the beginning?
I just, you know, I did all the workouts and I just adjusted them based on whatever was in there. Right. So I have like the one thing we do have is like we have a hanging pull-up bar, one of those like removable door ones. And so like pull-ups you could do. Right. Yeah.
But basically had like $300 worth of equipment at home.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Then, you know, we ended up getting the bike, which helped, but like you can always sub for that. So basically I was doing all the workouts that we were writing for the gym. I was doing the everyday programming. I was just modifying it based on whatever the at-home scaling was with the weights that I had.
Right. Okay. So the biggest question I have, and I don't know, for you, it might just be an automatic, but wasn't it hard to transition from, I used to go to the gym on a regular basis to just doing this stuff at home in your basement?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it was a challenge not having people around.
Yeah.
And it was like a challenge to kind of push yourself a little bit harder. But for me, I'm always just trying to see what I can do. I'm always testing my own bounds. And so I was like, okay, I'm gonna do this and see if I can get better. And I made sure that all the workouts felt hard.
Mm, right.
From a mental point of view, because I had the structure where I just do 6 days a week, and then I have that 1 week where I go off, that was just what I did.
Right.
And so like, it didn't matter where I was, that was like kind of what I was going to do. And I was going to try and stick to it as much as I could. And if it became untenable, then I'd have to figure something else out. Right.
I don't know, man, you, this is one thing I always admire about you, kind of steamroll through like what for me feels like the hard part. Like I'm sitting here thinking like, okay, well, the gym's closed, I can't go to class, and you know, that I have all these concerns now. And like, you know, man, I just don't feel like working out. And I'm like struggling with all this like mental like wrestling and stuff. You're just like, well, you know, I'm doing the routine, so I'm just going to keep doing it.
Yeah. And you and I talked about this. We chatted like a few weeks ago. And like, one of the things I was talking about, like if we talk about the daily to-do list, for me, like working out is always like high on the list. Because to me, like working out is something that you need to do. Because if you don't do it, you can't go back and do it. Right. Like if you have a to-do list for work, right? Like there's always something that you can probably push to tomorrow. Right. There's like almost nothing on your work to-do list that absolutely has to get done today unless it's like the due date. Right. Yeah. So like anything on that list, you could probably reprioritize and get it done tomorrow if you plan to just work your plan better. Right. But if you don't work out today, you can't work out today. Like you're not gonna that's it. Like you lost the chance to work out at the day. And you know that as every day that you don't work out, it's just not good for you.
Yeah.
Like,
you're
not making that
progress. Higher priority maybe
exactly.
for you than for other people. I mean, it's the case for me as well, but I still complain about it.
Yeah. But it's a higher priority, but because of like that aspect of it to me, right? It's like, it's not something that you can put off because there's no putting it on. Like, there's no way to get the benefit back. Losing the benefit of the workout if you don't do it today. Whereas like you can do your chores tomorrow and it's still going to be probably okay. You're not losing really much from doing it.
You can't procrastinate on a workout basically.
No. Yeah. Like it's like economic terms, like your opportunity cost for not doing the workout is way higher because you can't actually recover it.
you know, the coach, John Wooden.
Yeah.
Yeah. He coached UCLA. He used to see a guy dogging it in practice, right? So the basketball coach, he would see someone dogging it in practice and he would say to them like, hey, you know, the thing is, if you give it 75% effort today, you can't make up for it by going 125% tomorrow.
Exactly.
You know, like you can't save anything because today is today and tomorrow is tomorrow. So give every effort that you can today. So, yeah, I love that. So I guess the thing is like, and this is something I think a lot of people struggle with is just when life changes, when people, you know, have strong feelings about stuff or like you're worried about something, then other things take a back seat. And you're basically saying that like, this is a higher priority than how I feel about it.
Yeah.
And you know, all those other things. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you just kind of rolled into straight into doing it at home with whatever you had.
Yep.
Yep. And how was it at the beginning?
It was tough. Like I did feel like I was more out of shape, even though like it had only been like a couple, you know, it was, you know, it'd been like even the first week of doing it at home, it felt like I was more out of shape. And I think part of that was like, I couldn't bench bike myself against like other stuff. Like, you know, it was like different movements. It was like new stuff. It was like a bunch of dumbbell stuff that I hadn't done in the past. And so I was like, okay, I can't tell how hard this is supposed to be, but it feels damn hard.
Yeah.
So then it turned into, okay, well, if it feels hard, then I'm doing what I need to do.
Right.
And then the nice thing was like, you know, okay, this dumbbell stuff is getting easier. Okay. I can like ratchet up the intensity a little bit. And then I got the barbell, and then it's like, okay, now I know, like I've done some of these things with the barbell before. Now I can tell if I'm actually improving, because I can go back to my old like records and be like, oh yeah, I did this on the barbell and like I'm doing more now, or this feels better. And you know, I can kind of gauge against the past.
Yeah. So you're talking about your records. Do you track everything that you do?
I mean, I used to track in a spreadsheet as well, but I mostly just use SugarWad. But yeah, I do like log all my stuff. Like whenever I work out, I log everything. If I do lifts and we do like through anything, like we do a rep max, like 3 rep max, 5 rep max, 1 rep max, I do record all of those. So I know like the last time I hit us on a certain lift. So I try and record as much as I can.
So you record like the workouts that have scores or times or whatever. And then you also record, like if you do you know, a heaviest deadlift or whatever, you're recording that stuff.
Yeah. So I have a separate sheet where I record like major lifts and like, you know, max effort, major lifts. Right. Yeah. And then I also record benchmark workouts.
Yeah.
So like I record those two things separately. Everything else I kind of keep in SugarWad.
Why do you do that?
Because I have like a lot more history in there. Like I have like So I keep it separate from SugarWad because we haven't always used SugarWad. So I have 7 years of history.
I know, but why do you have that like separate spreadsheet, and why do you record so much stuff?
Just so I know if I'm improving. It also gives me a target when I go into the workout to be like, okay, last time I did this workout, it was X time, and this was the thing. I'm feeling pretty good. Let me see if I can beat it, right? Or it's like, or I finish the workout and I go back and say, oh yeah, you know what? Like I was only like 10 seconds off, or oh, look, it was like it was a PR. It's just a way for me to gauge if I'm improving and if I'm, you know, getting better.
Yeah. How often do you look at that stuff?
I only look at it when it comes up in the workouts, right? So if the workout is a benchmark workout, then I'll go look at my old time.
Yeah.
If it's like a rep max, as I plan like what my jumps are going to be and what my target's going to be, I will look at my old times or my old like weights and lifts and stuff.
Yeah. I got to say, man, you're one of the few people that I've known that over this pandemic has consistently gotten in better shape, like week after week, right? And I, you know, there's a few examples of folks at the gym that have been pretty consistent, but a lot of folks struggled, especially when we didn't have classes, you know, when we were off for a couple months. It's just like, they couldn't keep the routine going. And so it's not just the training that you're doing, right? I mean, you're following the program that we offer, but it's not just the training that you're doing. You're looking after your nutrition and doing other stuff. Can you talk a little more about that?
Yeah. So you've probably seen in some other podcasts and stuff like that. You know, I food prep for the family. We food prep and I cook all the food on Sunday, and that hasn't changed for the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. And so like the pandemic didn't really change that at all. It was just like, I was eating my meals at home instead of somewhere else. But like, we were still doing the same type of food prep. And, you know, we cook basically like Monday through on Sunday, I'll cook Monday through Friday. I mean, all the meals. Right. And then we'll just eat. And so none of that really had to change.
Right.
Right. So I just kind of kept doing it.
And I know I've asked you this before, but you don't weigh or measure anything. Right.
No, but I mean, I've done it for so long so that I know like which foods cause me issues. Like I know like from a eliminate like food quality and like food elimination point of view, like I know which things to like avoid, and that that affect my performance. And I kind of just have a sense of like how much I should be eating because I use the same containers all the time. So I kind of just know like, okay, this is how much of this should be protein. This is how much of this should be veggies. And this is how much should be carbs. And we just kind of like eyeball it and kind of set it up.
And then you like did those kind of tests. So you like will introduce a new food and then like see how it makes you feel. And then,
and I mean, I've been doing it. We've been open. It's 8 years now, right? No. Almost, yeah. It's 7 years. Seven. Yeah. And so, I mean, we've done challenges every year. Yeah. Right. And so most of those challenges have always been some sort of elimination diet. And so like when we do those, I go kind of go back and I test them and I kind of just know now, like, you know, legumes and like gluten and dairy are like three things that are like rough on me.
Right.
And then like, and then I know that like rice, like I feel a certain way after I eat certain rice things. And so I pay attention to what I eat. Yeah. And then I pay attention to like how I feel afterwards.
So you'll go through this like 30-day elimination of eliminating a bunch of stuff. And then you start reintroducing things.
Yeah.
And you realize like, oh, yeah, actually I can't have bread anymore or whatever.
Yeah. And so I've done those things enough that like, I don't really have to do them. Like I don't have to do another elimination diet anymore. I don't feel, unless like for some reason, like how I feel starts declining over time. And then it's like, okay, I'll first look at, am I eating anything different? No. Okay. Then maybe there's something else that's happening. And then I might go do an elimination diet then. But like, right, I haven't had to like tweak, like the list of things that like I generally try and avoid hasn't changed in the last 2 or 3 years.
Right.
Because I've just, you know.
So during this pandemic, right, we've been inside and you've been working out at home. You said you didn't change anything, but you have improved in your physical fitness. So are you eating more protein or really nothing has changed?
You know, I don't know that I've eaten. I think it's just, I mean, part of it is like, at least in the beginning, it was like different workouts. And so I think my body was adapting to that. Mm-hmm. Right. But I've also, and then like since then, I still feel like, you know, I'm slowly improving just like I was before the pandemic.
Right, right. Yeah.
You know, and so it was always like just gauging like how I was improving over time. And it's not like a PR every week kind of thing, but it's like, you know, you can kind of see and you can test yourself and kind of see how you're doing and move forward. And at least once a month, I was like, oh yeah, that definitely was better than before.
Yeah.
And so it's a slow grind and you just have to like kind of stick to it for me.
Yeah. So you just like really, really consistent over the years. Do you have goals, things that you're shooting for right now?
Not right now. No. I mean, I think for me, like the goal is feel like I'm making progress. Mm. Right. So like, if I feel like I'm making progress, then I'll continue doing it. If I feel like I'm not making progress, then I'll stop and like think about what I need to change to make sure I'm making progress. Now, like occasionally I'll sign up for like a competition or like a race or something, and then I'll train for that and have a goal for it. But generally it's like, you know, get stronger is my goal.
Yeah.
Right. Get stronger and like keep my speed and agility, but get stronger. Right. So keep all my like capabilities, but get stronger. And so, you know, if I feel like that's happening, I just kind of keep doing it.
Okay. So progress for you is just how strong are you?
Yeah. But I don't have like a goal. I don't have like I'm trying to get to this weight on the back squat and whatever. It's like, if I feel like the back squat's improving, then I'll just, you know, keep doing it. Keep going what I'm doing now.
Okay. So like if you're in a back squat, like you're doing back squats. Now I know I do this. So this is why I'm asking.
Yeah.
Back squat. Yeah. And you're like, okay, we're doing a one rep max back squat coming up, you know, this Thursday or whatever. Do you get nervous when you're about to go do that? Or do you just kind of like,
yeah, I mean, one rep maxes are definitely, I definitely get nervous on one rep max.
Right.
Because like, it's scary to me. Partially because like I have a tendency to injure myself, like go too hard on those one rep maxes sometimes. Mm-hmm. And like, I might injure myself, like just like mentally just going too much, especially on deadlift with my history. But I just get nervous and I want to like, I do feel like I want to try and push them. If I'm feeling good, I'll be like, okay, it's time to like try and hit a PR.
So you do feel that sort of pressure of like, I gotta see if I'm stronger here and I gotta try.
Yeah. It. Yeah. Okay. And you know, and then, you know, if it's not, then it's fine. Cause I also know that one rep max PRs are, there's a lot of factors there.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be.
Right. And so yeah. And so for me, generally, you know, it's actually workout performance that probably is a better marker, honestly.
Mm, Right.
Like one rep maxes are easy to gauge and like to measure, because you can just, it's a number, right? You can't like, if you did better, that means you just did better than before, right? And but for me, a lot of times it's the multiple reps in a workout that make a difference to really kind of gauge if I'm getting better, right?
So during this last 8 months, have you had a time where you kind of fell off your routine, or like you just, you know, took a few days off and just weren't really feeling it?
If I take right in the last 8 months, it's been mostly like if I'm feeling injured, where I'll take some more time off. So like recently, you know, I had this quad thing, and this is actually something I have to actually maybe adjust my workout schedule right now. So, you know, ever since we got the barbell, the other thing that's happened is like, I feel like I've been able to go harder because we have the barbell now.
Yeah.
And so like, I'm able to go harder on those workouts. And so what I was doing in the past was like, I was going hard every day for 6 days. Right. So even the med cons, I was killing myself trying to get the med cons done. And some of those med cons are flipping hard. And if you do them like at full speed and like full intensity, it's like you're wrecked.
Yeah.
And so what happened recently was I did like the group class, the strength and conditioning class on Monday. I did the MetCon and went crazy on MetCon. And then and then on the third day when I did the strength and conditioning towards the end of it, like I just like, I felt my quad just like kind of give out, or not give out, but it just like seized up. Right. And what happened was Monday was all legs. Tuesday in MedCon ended up being all legs if you went really hard. And then Wednesday was legs again. And so it was just like, my legs were just done. And so I'm having to rethink a little bit right now. Like, I might need to like take it easier on MedCon day. And so I might have to shift it off a little bit. And so that's more of, it's like, it's the injuries that kind of stopped me from doing it more than anything else.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm trying to avoid.
When you introduced the barbell, it just ramped up the intensity of everything.
Yeah, especially on the days when we're doing it. Yeah, and it's like, because you just get throw so much more weight on it, you know, and the body just like has to struggle under those conditions.
Yeah. So there's not been a time where you just, I don't feel like working out today, I'm just going to skip it.
Interestingly, because of the process with the 3 weeks and 1 week, like that third week tends to be a struggle.
Yeah.
Right. That third week, like going 6 days in a row, that tends to be a struggle. But then there's also it's kind of like, to me, like the last couple rounds of the workout, like you're almost done, just finish off the week. Yeah. So I get myself to kind of finish. And then that fourth week, it kind of just, you know, it's, you know, sometimes the fourth week will be really, really low intensity. And sometimes it's a little bit more active, but I kind of
you're planning your off times basically. Is what you're talking about. Yeah. So, you know, for those watching or listening, so Mike and I talked about this probably 3 or 4 years ago, because he was like, maybe it was longer than that.
Yeah. But I think it was like, probably within a year of me coming, you know, of us having Hail. So,
Mike only has one speed, and that's full speed. Right. And he was getting demolished by the workouts, because he's like, you're not supposed to go 100% every day, all the time, right?
Right.
And so we talked about this, and I said, well, you know, look, one of the ways that people avoid this kind of burnout is you go hard for 3 weeks and then you take 1 week off. And in that 1 week, you just do like active recovery. So, you know, you go for those 3 weeks, do everything that you can, push as hard as you can within reason. And then the active recovery week, you do half the reps or half the weight, or you go half the speed, right? Mm-hmm. And so kind of since then, that's what you've been doing, right?
Yeah.
And
you've
gotten to this rhythm now where your body is kind of expecting that, it sounds like.
Yeah. And usually what happens is like, you know, the fourth week is like the beginning of the fourth week, I'm just like, yeah, I'm really happy it's the fourth week. I'm just going to like hop on the bike for 10 minutes or 15 minutes and just like take it easy. Towards the end of the week, I'm like, all right, I want to work out. I want to do something. Like, my body starts kind of like, I can tell that it's recovering. And if I don't feel that way, then I just know I need to recover even more. Right. But then that first week, usually that first week that I come back is when I hit most of my PRs.
Right. Right.
And it's like, it was actually consistently like once a quarter, I would hit some PRs. Like, and it was always that first week. Sometimes in the second week, but always like it was kind of more predominantly that first week.
Yeah.
And then that second week was like, might be some, depending on what was going on and what lifts we were doing. Maybe it was just part of the workout cycle where we were testing a max or something. And then almost never in the third week. Third week was always just about like, hang on, just keep doing the work. Like, but I actually feel like a lot of the strength gains are probably happening in that third week because your body is tired, but you're still stressing it. And then like, and then you just recover for a week.
Yeah.
So it's like it was an interesting thing that was happening. And so I just like, it's working. I want to just keep doing it. So
it kind of fits in with your kind of the way you live your life. Like you plan things ahead of time.
Yeah.
You're basically like you're planning your meals. You're doing the, you know, cooking and everything on these days. You're planning the workouts. Even if you don't know what the workouts are, you're planning for your times off and things like that.
Yeah.
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 It's really useful skill. Do you plan your sleep as well?
I wish I did. I need to do that more.
Sleep is the struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sleep is the struggle. I think of anything like anything during a challenge, it's always the sleep that's the struggle for me.
Yeah.
So
the answer to my question of whether you ever feel like not doing it is yes, you do, but you plan it. You plan like the feeling of not doing it.
Well, I mean, I would say like, I feel there's, you know, especially now, you know, depending on the, like on those days when it was smoky outside, I was just like, I just don't want to work out. But if it was during my planned workout times, I would just work out anyways.
Yeah. How do you make yourself do that?
I put it on the calendar and I just do it. I don't know. It's
just,
like,
just put your shoes on and go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'm going to do it. And you know, I might play some mental games with myself. Like, you know what? Like this workout's only 15 minutes or like, you know, or like you can just play games with yourself. And like, it's like, I'm just going to go in, like, just get like, as soon as you get moving, then it's fine. Right. So it's like, I'm just going to warm up and see how I feel. And, you know, as you said, I really only have one speed. So it's like, as soon as I start like getting warmed up for it, I'm like, all right, I'm just going to go. I'm going to go. Yeah. I'm just going to go 100% because why not? Like, I'm already going to spend the time on it. So usually for me, if I just kind of get my gear on, like get into the workout area, it's like, okay, it's happening.
Okay. So, you have a workout area in your house. Is that your garage or your basement? Or?
Yeah. So we used to have it in our basement, like by our office. But then after we got the barbell, we ended up buying some stall mats like we have at the gym and then like just setting them up in the garage with the barbell there and stuff. So it's like generally the garage now.
Okay. So it's basically like you're going to the gym, which is your garage, and you have like your shoes and everything, you know, kind of put out.
Yeah, shoes, all my, you know, all my gear that I like to use. And then I have like, we have a little speaker. We, you know, connect the phone to it. We use the same timer that we use at the gym. Like you can just download that app.
Yeah.
You can download the app for the, and it works really well. It does all of the variations you want with rounds and Tabata and all that stuff. Yeah. Just use that timer and then, you know, just get to it.
Right. It probably took you a while to come up with that kind of setup when you started.
Yeah, yeah, because like when we first started doing it, it was just like a little corner in the downstairs with the dumbbells. But then like Carrie, I mean, it really helps for me that like Carrie wants to work out the same amount as I do, right? Yeah. And so like it's like we both wanted a space that we could work out, and then like the garage just became even better because the kids would come down, and then it's like, okay, we just need to be in the garage so that, you know, we're even more separated from everyone.
There's just all these little things. The reason I'm asking you these questions is there's all these little things that you're doing that I think you have a tendency to kind of like, oh yeah, that's just what you're doing.
Yeah, that's
but
what
it's
I
like
do.
All those little things that you're setting up that make a difference, right? It's like having having a space that you can go to where the equipment's already there, having your shoes kind of ready, or, you know, your speaker ready, the water ready, having a time that you do it. And then kind of looking at your whole week and kind of planning that time as well. Yeah. And then planning your rest times as well so that you can, you know, factor in the fact that you're not going to want to go so hard every day. And then even with all of that stuff, you still have to talk yourself into it sometimes.
Right? Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. Because you're always going to have a way you feel.
Yeah.
That and day. And just like,
what I think is interesting here is like, what a lot of people deal with is they don't have the environment that kind of sets them up. You know, they're like the weights are next to their bed in their room or they have to pull them out from underneath the bed or something like that. Right. And it's like, you have to take 7 steps before you even start the workout. And that doesn't even factor in that you don't feel like doing it. And you almost want it to be like a train where you hop on the train and you're going no matter what happens. And for you,
I mean, that's why you go to the, like that.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, it's like going to the gym, right? Like you go to the gym because all the stuff's there. You don't have to think about it. Like you do group fitness because you could show up and do the workout. You don't have to come up with your own thing. Yeah. So Yeah. It's like the more that you can make your life, you know, your home environment like that, if you're that's where you're working out, the better off you're going to be.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's all the sort of setup, but also you have the workouts, so you don't have to think about those. You also have the days that you're going to be doing it. So I think this is all really helpful. I think I wanted to have you on, especially after talking to Heidi last time, because you make it all sound so easy. But the truth is you actually put a lot of work into making that environment and setting up your life so that this was a priority for you. And so if you're going to work out at home, which is what you do almost exclusively now, then these are some of the things you have to do, right?
Yeah. Cool. So go ahead.
No, you go.
Yeah. So basically like our process, we talked a little bit about like just like my routine, right? In terms of 3 weeks on, 1 week off. And like I have the structure that were in place beforehand. The other thing that we do is like Carrie and I will sit down like on Thursdays. And I think we talked about this when I did food prep. Basically, like we'll plan the week ahead and we'll just make sure we know like when she's working out, when I'm working out, we just put it on that sheet and we figure out like who's gonna like when. Because of all the kids stuff, we like put the kids stuff in the calendar and we just have the next week planned so we know when it's happening.
Yeah.
And that helps a lot.
Yeah. We didn't even mention you also have two kids, but
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you've made all this amazing progress throughout the shelter in place and you've already kind of given some tips on some ways that people can set up their own home gyms and make progress like you've made progress. Are there any kind of takeaways? Are there any sort of big things that you want people to take away that will make the biggest difference for them if they're trying to do the same at home?
I mean, for me, one of the things has always just been consistency, right? Like just come up with a schedule and try and stick to it. The less thinking you have to do, and this is the whole like setting up your environment and all that stuff, the less thinking you have to do, the more likely it's going to happen. Right. Like you'll think yourself out of it if you have to feel like figure out like, am I working out today or not? And that's the biggest thing that for me with my structure is like, I'm just working out every day. There's no like, am I working out today or not? Is it tomorrow? What? It's like, I'm just working out every day. And like, and then I just go to Sugar Water and figure out what I'm doing and that's it. Right. And so the more that you can build that consistency where you're not having to think about what you're going to do and you just have to go do it, like it's a lot easier. It takes a lot and it gets your brain out of it, right? And it gets your like feeling out of it. It's just like it's on the calendar and it's happening. That's one. I think the other one is, you know, we've like you said, like we set up an environment where we just go and we have the stuff there. And we made it so that like we can still park the car in there if we need and stuff like that. And so, you know, order stuff from Rogue, we piece it together, it works for what we need. And you know, it definitely helps us as well. If you don't have that, I would still recommend putting it all in one spot. So you don't have to like go and, you know, dig it all out and figure things out.
And I think that's one of the big things about just going to classes or attending a Zoom class is like a lot of the thinking is done for you.
Yep.
And so even if you have nothing, you go to a class and go to a Zoom class, for example, and the coach will say, okay, great. Grab, you know, a backpack and start doing the workout with the backpack.
Yeah.
And the coach will just do it. So if all you got to do is stumble in and show up, right?
Yeah. And I would say the other thing is like we have great programming. Don't like try and come up with your own stuff or cherry pick the stuff. It's just like, just go in there and do what's in there. Like, you know, maybe you need to pick between strength and Metcon because of how you're, you know, like you did strength yesterday. So you got to do Metcon today, but just like, don't like go through and pick the one that you want to do. It's just like, just pick, go to that day and pick the thing that's posted there, just do it. Don't think about it. Just like go and do it. Like the more you think and plan and all that other stuff, it's just more likely that you're not going to do it because then it turns into more work. And then it's like all this extra stuff that you have to do to even just work out. So
you know, it's funny, like
just get it in.
You know, it's funny owning a gym for so many years and, you know, training for so many years, the more you learn, the more you realize that like, you just got to keep it as simple as possible. Right. There's all kinds of cool stuff that you could do, but you have to pick a program that gets you the results that you want and stick with it and stick with it for long enough to get the results that you want.
Yeah. And like, you know, people ask me like, what's the best workout routine? What's the best diet? Like my answer is always the one that you can stick to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. So you got to make sure that whatever you do is simple and that you can stick to it. And then once you, when you can stick to it, stick to it.
Yeah.
Because if you keep trying fancy stuff and try, you know, modifying things all the time, you're not going to, it's not going to be successful, because unless you're really good at, unless you're a scientist and really good at testing and retesting and being disciplined about that kind of stuff, you're never going to figure out the right thing, because it's just going to be a big mess. Just pick something that you can do and just keep doing it. And if you get results, then keep doing it. If you don't get results, then yeah, maybe go revisit it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have to be patient with those results, right? I like to, like to have people do 2-week trials to make sure that they can actually do whatever it is.
Yep.
And then once you decide, okay, yes, I can show up and do this thing, then you have to commit to doing it for 6 weeks to 12 weeks to see any kind of results. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's really good advice.
And the last thing is, like, you know, especially when I was starting out, like, you don't need a lot of equipment to get a good workout. You don't need a lot of equipment to even get strength improvements. Right. Like, you know, when I got some of these PRs on the barbell, I hadn't been lifting a barbell for a long time. It was just all the dumbbell work we had done earlier, all the single leg stuff, all that stuff that we had done earlier, like, was building my strength. And so, like, whatever you have, you can get a great workout, and just, there's no excuses, right? Like,
yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us, Mike. I think it's actually really inspiring to know that you can get those results at home without feeling like you need to come in or that you have to attend, even if that is what works best for you, then there's a way to get there, and you just follow the program and you just do it. So if anyone has any questions for Mike or for us, you can email us at info@hailfitness.com. And that's all we have for you today. We're going to be back later on this week with Ruth, and we're going to learn a little bit about her story.
Cool. Thank you, everyone.
So much, guys. Thanks, Mike. Have a good one.